our Bibles back up to Exodus chapter 34. Show me thy glory. And Lord willing, we will, in a way, well, I might announce something else, though. I think there's one more addendum kind of to this that we're going to continue on in. But this will kind of conclude the show me thy glory with that we've been rejoicing in with Moses and how the glory was revealed to Moses. And I pray that we don't lose sight of what God has opened up to us here. And I mentioned it a little bit, even in the prelims, I guess, is you think about the time that we're in. Brothers and sisters, we're at the time of the latter rain. And that rain, R-A-I-N, it's raining. And it's raining fierce, meaning there's an outpouring of His grace and mercy and His truth and enlightened eyes of understanding. Praise God. He's a gracious God. And He's going to have that pouring forth, especially at the moment till we all come, you know, in that beauty of the time that shall be no more. I mean, it's going to be evident, and it is evident. I was thinking about how, you know, there in the early 1900s, there was a little couple. They weren't married, but a couple little ones got together that God graced in their heart. That He said, you know what? I know their heart. They'll see truth. They'll want truth. A brother Copley and a sister Bodie. They wrote things and saw things in the Word of God that I'm confident others had seen in certain ways, but not in that depth. Not in the type and shadow that God had revealed to them. And then going on from that time, more and more came out to different ones that had God had called and to study that word. And it's not new truth. It's not new truth. It's just the layers of the truth, the enlightened eyes of understanding, to see it even in more light. And so thankful to God. Well, brothers and sisters, we're in that time still. And it's pouring forth. And I want to emphasize that what we're reading here of Moses is just like with Isaiah and Ezekiel when they were given that vision of this cherubim and the seraphim. All right? They saw the glory of God. They wrote of the glory of God. That's what they were seeing. And they were seeing the future. They were seeing the bride of Christ. They were seeing His glory. Now, they didn't understand it. They didn't know exactly what they were privy to see. But God said, you write these things down. You write it down because you're going to write those things for the saints of glory that will come after Pentecost, that will come after Paul's gospel and receive the Holy Ghost and receive Paul's gospel. And so we're here again. And remember, as we started this study of Moses, where he says, Lord, show me thy glory. Don't ever forget what the word back parts means. It means the future. Don't ever remember when he was talking about, you won't see my face. But that was also meaning the faces of the cherubim. Don't ever forget the layers of meaning in every word of verse 2 of chapter 34. Because there's no denying what this is speaking about. This is another prophet. And a great prophet at that, as the Word of God tells us. But this is another moment that the Lord showing him, just like he showed Isaiah, just like he showed Ezekiel, the cherubim and the seraphim, the future, the very glory of the Lord. And we'll bring in more evidence of this as the Lord ties this up in Revelation tonight. But this is about the glory dawning morning. This is the message, praise God, to those that will meet Jesus in the air. And once again, Moses, Ezekiel, Isaiah, they saw these things. And they all knew that it was the glory of God that they were seeing. They didn't know exactly what it was, but they wrote these things for us. Now, why do we say that? Turn on over to Ephesians chapter 3. These are verses that we speak of time and time again. And in the fourth verse of Ephesians chapter 3, And you have to think about, why is it Brother Paul that's always bringing this up about that they wrote these things for us? Because it had to be Paul's gospel that revealed those mysteries that were hidden in the Old Testament, that opened up the mystery that we could see, knowing that they wrote those things for us. Let's read verse 4 of chapter 3. Paul said, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in what? The mystery of Christ. All right? Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So there you have it. It was the message revealed to Paul, and it was revealed to Paul and to anybody who ever receives it by who? The Holy Ghost. Praise God. So it's all right there. Many times throughout the Word of God, it speaks of these things. Go on over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. You could go to Romans, you could go to Corinthians, but I think we're getting a theme there, Paul's epistles, saying the same things. But in Colossians chapter 1, and reading from verse 24, he says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. And remember that dispensation, as Brother Hill always used to bring out, I love that, the domestic, the housekeeper of it. The one that was, again, that sergeant at arms that would bring forth this marvelous gospel of Jesus Christ and his bride. Okay, so he said, made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. See, he was not shy about this, was he? He said, let me tell you, in Romans, he said, you know, God's going to judge the secrets of men according to my gospel. Those are the very intents of the heart. He's judging for reward, praise God. Will we receive the whole counsel of God? So here, he says, even the mystery, isn't that something? He says, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. And I love that. To his saints, this has been made manifest. So once again, this has been made manifest to ones that are already saved. They're ones that are already Christians. See, this is something that is more. To whom God would make known. Think of how many times. Make known, reveal this mystery. It's hidden, but now it's revealed, right? To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. So now we're even elevating these things. It's not just the glory, but the riches of this glory. The mother load of the glory. And now I want you to think about that, because we're going to see why something changed even on the very countenance and appearance of Moses in just a minute. Let me tell you something. There's a light that comes out of her. That it said that city don't need the light because of the glory of God. And he's the light thereof. But never forget, she's his glory. It's hard not to jump ahead. But it's hard not to even say, even so, Lord, come quickly. As exciting and wonderful as this is on the brink, isn't it going to be wonderful when we see him face to face? But he says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. And never forget that, what we're rejoicing in. Who gets the riches of his glory? His vessels of mercy. Amen. That he would bestow the riches of his glory on his vessels of mercy. Isn't it wonderful? Aren't you thankful you're getting a vision? I'm talking about an enlightened, understanding vision of mercy. It's the mother lode if you want the riches of glory. Now you understand why you always have walked around. Oh, man, I'm just such a messed up Christian. I know this, and oh, my, it just. Because he wants you to get into mercy. Yeah. And then here come those golden raining vessels coming right out of that mercy seat, standing, bowing, worshiping right back to the beautiful blood on the mercy seat. Praise God. So to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Once again, that word Gentiles is those are ones that are already saved. That's what that means. Which is Christ in you. Here's the mystery, the message. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's a glory doctrine. And it's glory for him. And it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, is what it can be. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, complete, the fully furnished, grown, mature sons of God, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. His work, praise God. So, once again, this is that hidden mystery that these prophets saw, that they wrote for you. And this is where we're at once again tonight, is Moses, praise God, has got a glimpse of the glory that will be. Now, we see that these weren't just merely stories and events, but they're revelations and prophecy. They wanted to look into, but it wasn't for them because it was for us. And praise be to God, it's seen through the revelation of the gospel that was given to Paul. But after seeing the glory, after being revealed this truth of all the ages to come, let's go back to Exodus 34. Moses, as we left off last week, couldn't do anything but in verse 8. It says, and Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. You know, he didn't just bow his head towards the earth and worship. He made haste. It was like almost slain in the spirit kind of thing. Bam! Now, we left off rejoicing. We think back about our Revelation study, how many times we've been through that. There's John being taken up throughout all those things to see, in a sense, the same glory, the bride, that wonderful bride. And then one of the bridal ones, as we see, is that one that's showing John around. And John, two different times, the one who knew Jesus, the one who Jesus said, oh, the disciple that I love, the one who laid his head upon his breast, two different times, the one that's bringing him around, he falls down and begins to worship. And those two times, that one picks him up and says, now you stop doing that, John. I'm redeemed just like you. You see, when you see that kind of glory, you can't help but bow down and worship. When you see the like him glory in the fullness, the stature, and the measure of Christ, let me tell you something, they're going to worship. They're going to bow down because he's going to make known to all that he has loved you. Oh my. There's a sermon coming. The return on mercy. Oh, what a return mercy is going to give you. Keep taking it. I know it blows your mind. I know this is just, what is he talking about? How could this be? Well, I'm going to ask you, is anything hard for God? Is anything hard for God? No, the answer is no. Nothing is hard for him. And his word is true. It's true. It's the only thing that is true. Tried those beautiful seven times for you. Perfection. That's how he thought of you. I think of the Lord, why would you have to try it like that? Oh, honey, I want to show you how I love you. I want you to know. This is who you are in Christ. So, now we come to this place that he's bowed down and he's just on the earth, his face to the ground, and he's worshiping. And matter of fact, this is really one of the very first times it says of Moses where he just hit the ground in this kind of euphoria to worship the Lord like this. And I want you to think, we come to this place, it's 40 days, in a sense, he's up in that mount. And we're coming to this place where Moses, his face shines with the glory of God. We're going to get there in just a moment. But I want you to think, Moses had spoken to God many times before this, many times. Matter of fact, he'd seen God in different ways. He saw him in the burning bush. If you go back to chapter 24, we won't go there right now. He, Aaron, and Joshua saw God. They saw him. He saw God's glory. It said that even Israel saw the glory of God sitting upon that mountain. Chapter 33, we read when we started. It said that Moses spoke face to face with God as a friend. All right? But I'm going to ask you something here. Why was this different? What happened here? Glory. His glory. I'm going to reveal you my glory. See, I think of this like we've talked about. If you take it in context where Moses says all of a sudden, show me thy glory. It didn't really have anything to do with anything that was going on in a way. Honey, I'm going to show you something. And you're going to ask for it. But you don't even know what you're going to ask you, but I'm going to give you more. Think about Esther coming in there to the king. Huh? She was looking for mercy, wasn't she? Oh, I hope he gives me enough mercy to spare the people's life and spare my life. Amen? Wasn't that why she was going in there? Let's be honest. But how much mercy met her? Honey, what's mine is yours. Do you see what I'm saying, Christian? Huh, Christian? See, he gave you that blood not to just save you, but to give you salvation with eternal glory. He didn't want to just show you mercy. He wanted you to be the glory of mercy. See, when he brings you in as a child of God, you don't even know what he's bringing you into. You had no idea that these kind of riches untold were there. It's like that queen, she went out, oh, the half had not been told. But see, that's not for someday. That's for right now. Yes, it is, isn't it? See, with what we're coming into, you get it. It's the reigning now. He proposes to you, and you receive that proposal now. Just like in that old ancient Hebrew marriage, the contract was signed. It was done. The marriage was given. All the groom did was go away to prepare the place for her to stay. Isn't that what the groom's doing right now? To them that believe. And let me tell you something. For those that believe, he ain't getting a palm ready for you. Isn't it? Like I said many times, as he showed me, you've got to not want to see it. You've got to refuse it. It's so clear. It's right there. Yes, it is way beyond comprehension. But he said, you can know my love. You can know my love. And when you know my love, you'll believe it. When you know how much I love you, you'll take it. Because you know you can't earn it. And you know you'd never deserve it. But that's exactly what mercy is. Come on. Amen. So, here we go. All he could do, just as those 24 elders, after they see the four living ones, let's go back there, Revelation chapter 4. See, you see in the future. Huh? See, we see the future, don't we? By the grace of God. I see the future. I see the future in one place. Stand right in the midst of the throne with him. And I'm looking right out on over all the palm waving and all the majesty and all the amazing stuff. But I got eyes all over me because I'm looking at him too. Within and without. Don't miss a thing. Because we're going to be like him. Here, there, and everywhere. Isn't that something? All in all. You believe it? You better. Or you're going to miss it. But here it is. And Moses is seeing something. And he don't know necessarily what he's seeing. But I'll tell you one thing. When he sees it, he's going to say, yeah, I saw that. And I believe the Lord's been telling him. Because he's been with him in a glorified body. Oh, yeah. He has a glorified body. He's those that were raised there from those graves. And I'm sure that bridegroom's been telling his friends, okay, guys and gals, here's what's been going on. Here's what we're waiting for. I'm sure he loves them like that. So here we go. Revelation chapter 4, verse 9. It says, and when those beasts, those are the four beasts in the midst of the throne that you read about right up there in verses 6 through 8. When those four beasts in the midst of the throne give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever. And like I say, just think about that. We give him glory because we've taken the grace to be that glory for him. You're going to be able to give that to him. Isn't that beautiful? And in that glory, you give him thanks and you give him honor. That's what honors him. Amen. His wife honors him. Praise God. To him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne. See, I don't need to have them tell me, well, they're just falling down before him. Well, she's with him. We just read where she was. All right, it's okay. I understand they're praising him, but they're also praising his glory. It's a package. They're one. Come on now. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. They are and were created. See, they see his pleasure right before them because she's his glory. You think? I know. I get excited about this. He gives me the I don't know. I've already kind of had the wedding, but I don't even know. This is just an extension of it. Pictures in my heart. Praise God. Wonderful. So this is what Moses saw. Now getting back to Exodus 34 here. Let's read verse 29. All right. Here we go. And it came to pass when Moses came down from the mount and from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with God. I mean, why he talked with him. And this is when he was speaking with the ones when he came down. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh to him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all of the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off his face until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, and the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. I love it. I love it. Now, in light of all the bridal prophecy, thank God we know there's no doubt here from our studies here specifically why Moses' face is shining. Let's go on back over to Revelation chapter 21. Here's why his face is shining. He's seeing the future. Something happens when you see glory like that. You light up. You have to light up. And here's why Moses is lighting up. Chapter 21, verse 9. John there. The Lord's taking him to see this beautiful vision of the revelation. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. We studied that many times. You get into that jasper stone, it's exactly him. It's his glory. It's that diamond. She is like him. Now, jump on down to verse 23, and here you go. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God. Now I'm going to ask you, who has the glory of God? The bride has the glory of God. Didn't we just read there that she descends? Let me show you the Lamb's wife having the glory of God. And what does it say? And her light? My goodness. What is she? She's like him. So you read that rest there again, back to 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. How many times I've said that my wife lightens my house? Huh? Isn't that one of the sayings they have when a beautiful woman comes into her? Oh, she just lights it up. Amen. But here's the reason it lights up. The glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. She's the light of him. But this is the beauty of it all, if you really think. What a thought. They must be together for this glory. You see what I'm saying? See, Moses' countenance didn't change when he'd talked with God face to face before. But then there was a vision of Jesus and his glory that will be. And when Moses saw that, his countenance changed. Because there's something about when those two are going to be together, there is a light. There is a light that is waiting to come. Oh, yes. It is. It's just, how do you even say it? But wow. Huh? But her glory lights it up, and her glory is his light. It's Jesus. Praise God. And he now is reigning as God as we read this, the glory of God, and it is marvelous. Back in 1 Corinthians 15:41, we know that there is a glory of the sun and a glory of the moon. Amen. And one star differs from another in glory. We go in and read about that woman that is in Revelation when she goes out into the wilderness. We see that, you know, she's beneath her feet is the moon. And we see that that's a reflected glory. And we're grateful to God for these things. But the sun glory, praise God, is his wife. She has that light within because she is like him. Now, going back to Exodus 34, let's read verse 28. Go back a little bit. It says, and Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. Now, in the Word of God, we know the number 40 refers to perfect testing. And we're thankful to God. We get another encouragement here. To receive the glory, brothers and sisters, it must be perfect testing. And perfect means complete in the Word of God, full, nothing lacking. It has to have it all. Not one moment short, not one moment longer. It has to be exact. And every trial is that exact for your life. It's got God's perfect timer on it. The way of escape's already been made, but you're going to be in it not one iota less or more than what God has for that appointment. Isn't that wonderful to know? And we can ask the Lord to release us from it, but at the same time we know, praise God, I'm going to be in here for the perfect timing. He showed me that with one of the greatest trials of my life. And it went on for some time. And I'd ask him. But as he took me through it and began to show me the miracles within the trial and his faithfulness to my life that I never would have seen if I didn't go into that dark mile, I would not be the man of God I am today without it. The beauty of it was it wasn't too long in there that we really had some fellowship. I think he did tell me, son, what took you so long? But other than that, I'm glad, as he said, well, we're just glad that my grace got you there. But it's true, when we get into these things, to look into the Word of God and watch it play forth in your life. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same scriptures that will come through your life. You know that. The same promises of God will show themselves powerful in your life. It might be a little bit different twist on it, but it's all the same. It's the same Pentecostal power, and we thank God for it. Amen? So, we thank the Lord that it's always going to be the full testing. It's going to be that perfect proving and suffering, which is the requirement to rule and reign. Let's just be encouraged in a couple verses tonight as we close this up. In Romans 8:18, it's so beautiful as we read about those joint heirs with Jesus Christ, these mature sons. In Romans 8:18, it says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Isn't that wonderful? See, everything in the Old Testament was about seeing his glory, the glory being revealed. Everything, praise God, in Paul's gospel is about the glory in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, that this glory would be revealed in us. Amen. We are vessels to the praise and glory of his grace. All of this beautiful glory that he's building in us, all by his grace. If you go on over to 1 Peter chapter 5, and this is so marvelous how this all ties in. We're grateful to Jesus. And see, it was so sweet because these different apostles and these different ones that wrote of the Word of God, I really appreciate what the Lord brought through Peter. Peter, in these last scriptures that he writes and these different things that he brings forth by the Spirit, it points to Paul's gospel. He even tells us in his very last things that he says, you know what, some of them things old brother Paul said are hard to be understood, but he didn't leave it there. He said they're hard to be understood by those that wrestle with the truth. You know how you wrestle with the truth? When you start getting it here. You start thinking, well, you know, my religion told me this, or this is how I was brought up. How about we just listen to what the Word says? You understand what I'm saying? And all of us come in here a different way, and many of the ones in here tonight even come out of different religions and different Christian, you know what I'm saying, denominations and different things of that nature. And oh, there was rules and regs, and here's how you're taught, and this is what we believe, and all of this. I don't want to know what you believe. I want to know what the Word of God says. And in that, I want to believe what the Word of God says, not what my denomination says, not what my church teaches. I want to know what the Word of God says. Amen. Amen. And if that is your heart, you know what? He said, those that will to know, they're going to know of my will. They'll know this gospel. You have a willing heart, he'll put it in there. He'll meet it. And I thank God that's how faithful our Lord is. But here it is in 1 Peter 5:10. He says, But the God of all grace, the God of all grace. Notice he has to set this up here because you're still not going to believe it unless you understand it's all grace. Amen. Amen. Who hath called us unto his eternal glory. Isn't that amazing how he just continues to bring the glory up? Because he is just mesmerized by it. He is ravished by it. And these are his vessels of mercy. And his vessels of mercy are clothed and bestowed all of the riches of his glory. That's why he is behind that lattice. And oh my, I just, one bat of her eye, I can't stand it. I'm serious, he's just overwhelmed in heaven right now with his friends. Just can't even believe it. Oh, I want to go get her, Father. I think he's got a chorus up there that's starting to cheer. I think it's time. We can't hold him down any longer, huh? The beauty of this established, and it's just so wonderful. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. There's that perfect again. Complete, full, finished, established, strengthen, and settle you. Don't you love to be settled in Paul's gospel? I love being settled in Paul's gospel. I know my Savior loves me. I know my Savior is in love with me. I know his grace will perform everything that I need. I know because I just look at his mercy and I'm mesmerized, praise God. So there we go. And what a beautiful love story it is. But see, that's what this is. We're called to eternal glory. We're called to salvation with eternal glory. Now, let's get back to Exodus here again. And now let's talk about the veil that was put on Moses' face. There is a type of Israel in this, and I appreciate that. If you go back and study some of the study books, and even the Exodus study book online, you'll read about that type for Israel, and it's a beautiful thing. We're in this for bridal encouragement here as we're gathering tonight. So this is where it's going. This veil is like a veil of a bride. Oh, yes, it is. The veil that hides the beauty in the countenance of the beloved only to himself. The word of God says that we're like a vessel only for the master's use. Shut away only for him to see. I'll tell you what, ask old Jacob how hidden Leah was. He didn't know what he had until his wedding night. You know what? But that countenance was covered. And that's the way it was. Because she was shut up for the husband. She was shut up for the husband, if you will, until that time that veil would be removed. And there's coming a time that veil is going to be removed off of her. Matter of fact, it's a consummation time is really when that is. Matter of fact, the word of God says it's about a half an hour in heaven. And I'll tell you what, and then after that, oh, he's beside himself. He's taking that veil off for everybody because I'm going to make known to all that I have loved her. See, she's going to be shown for eternities to come. This is my glory. This is my love. And so we're grateful that we see this. But see, it is all him. And only, it's so wonderful, only when he would go into the Lord, it's so wonderful, would that veil come off. The veil would come back on when he went out to the people. And I think about that with us, brothers and sisters. You know, the world doesn't know who we are. They don't. Matter of fact, a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ don't know who you are. And it's not that we're anybody in ourselves. We understand that completely. But I'll tell you what, we are somebody in his mercy. And it's amazing, and I thank God for it. And it's for everyone if they would just believe. But it is all from all this glory. And right after this, which is beautiful, the Lord stirs Moses' heart. And that stirring of Moses' heart, it stirs the heart of the people. When that glory is upon Moses, something different happens with the people. Because remember, this was given to Moses. And then he came down and he saw what they were doing and he broke those tablets. But something changed. Obviously, there was ministering to him. They obviously were chastened of the Lord because of that worship in that golden calf. But when he came down this time, there was a change. And when you go into the 35th chapter, it talks about that the hearts of the people were stirred. Not all of them, some of them. And that's where I want to tell you, I think next time we get together, we're going to have to look at the 35th chapter, because I'm telling you, there's ranks in the type of the New Jerusalem. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. But why would it not be that way? Because he's seen the glory. And now he's going to reveal more glory. But specifically, let's finish this up here. Very first things that the people come out, you know, as they bring the stuff, we'll just kind of jump ahead. They begin to build the Holy of Holies. They begin to build the mercy seat and the cherubim. Very first thing, they start to put that together. And once again, why not? The very presence of God. This is what in type Moses had seen, the bride, the glory. He saw that face in a sense. He didn't see the face, but it was the faces of the cherubim as we read. And we're thankful to God. And in the place, in her place, that place is being prepared right now. I think of it, brothers and sisters, we're lively stones. And we're those stones that are being perfectly cut right now for that precious, wonderful place where the Lord will even sit. Think about that. We're talking about New Jerusalem. And she's going to be his seat. It's just so amazing. There's things that I know the Lord is revealing to my heart that maybe is just supposed to be in my heart. I don't know, but I'm just so grateful and amazed by his love. But it's marvelous, as we close this tonight, the hidden mysteries of the love of God. The hidden mystery of being glorified together with him. She is the city that descends and has the glory of God. The glory is his wife. And she does have to be taken up for her to descend. Praise God. Oh, what marvelous things the Lord will show. In the last three verses I quote to you tonight, Matthew 13:11 says, "It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." And then you read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Go on over there. We can read these together. As we close in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "But God hath revealed them," speaking of these mysteries, "unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." And then go back to the 7th verse, as Paul says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." And I want you to remember that word ordained means appointments. Appointments. I believe we've had one here tonight. I believe we have one every time we come together. It's raining. Pray for people. It's raining and they don't even know it. Let's go ahead and stand and be dismissed.